The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show featuring Gogo the Chimp. Nothing like a chimp to liven up the radio show. Easy there. Go. No, Gogo, no!
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, April 9th. Chris, do you know what today is? You're supposed to say Tuesday, April 9th.
Yeah. I was going to say the day after the eclipse, but...
No, the eclipse was canceled. You didn't hear about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look up in the sky. There's no eclipse.
Yeah, I think Netflix is requiring the moon and the sun to get different passwords now, so they canceled it.
That was clever, Chris.
Yeah,
that
welcome.
Was brilliantly clever,
yeah.
Almost freakishly clever. Yeah. Yesterday was April 8th, which makes today, I believe, this is just doing the math in my head, April 9th.
Yes.
Which is the anniversary of the execution of my hero and the hero of millions, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I wrote about him in the longest book I ever wrote called Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. And I can recommend that book because people come up to me to this day saying that's their favorite book of all time, apart from the Bible. And I'm glad that they always say apart from the Bible because I assume that it's apart from the Bible, but they feel like they have to say that. But look, his story is that magnificent. It has nothing to do with my book, or mostly nothing to do with my book. It has to do with his story. His story is a very beautiful, inspiring story. I was privileged to tell the story in the book, Bonhoeffer. But every April 9th, I just think about the fact that it was today that it happened at dawn. And I mean, it's interesting because when I wrote the Bonhoeffer book, oh, by the way, I want to say, coming up on this show, hour one, Sebastian Gorka, or Seb Gorka, as he is often called, because Americans have trouble with the name Sebastian. Seb Gorka, and as if Seb is easier than Sebastian. I think Sebastian's easier. But people confuse him with Sebastian Cabot, who also had a Van Dyke beard.
I don't know who that is.
Sebastian Cabot, he played Mr. French in Family Affair with Jody and Buffy.
Yeah, my brain didn't exist back then. I think that's
no. You were not yet born, but I was. I'm a little older than you are, and I think that Sebastian Cabot, who played Mr. French, that's the only other Sebastian that I know other than Sebastian Gorka. But Sebastian Gorka is my guest in hour one and hour two. I'm pretty sure we have Peachy Keenan, who is so great. Oh my gosh, they're both great. What an amazing 2 hours today. But I want to say, to get back to Bonhoeffer, when I wrote the Bonhoeffer book, I certainly did not expect it to do well. I'm not making that up. I mean, if you know me, I wanted to write it and kind of move on. And I thought it was an important story. I never, ever, ever dreamt that it would explode, that it would sell a million copies, that it would be translated to 20 languages. And until I supported Trump, I would be celebrated by the evangelical church across the world. What's interesting to me is, and one of the reasons I know God chose me to write that book is because it is more relevant today than when I wrote it. And so my new book, which is called Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil. Oh, look, I have a copy right here. In this book, I talk a lot about Bonhoeffer because he's the one that came up with the unwieldy phrase religionless Christianity to describe – maybe now's a good time for me to explain what it is.
Yeah. When does it come out, by the way?
Like next week? I don't know. April 23rd officially.
Okay.
Officially April 23rd. But you can pre-order it now, and there may be some copies available before that. But – Yesterday, I signed like 1,000 copies.
And your hands are still
at New Life Christian stores. If you want to get copies, you can go to SocratesInTheCity.com. You can get signed copies at SocratesInTheCity.com. But I feel like the first thing I have to explain about this book, and I'll spend the weeks ahead talking about it one way or the other, there's a lot about Bonhoeffer in this book, because Bonhoeffer, to me, points the way forward in terms of what do we do now. Because we're in a very similar – the case I make in Letter to the American Church, in the film, in the documentary film, and of course in the book, Letter to the American Church, is that the parallels to where the German church was in the early 30s to where the American church is today are stunning, staggering, horrifying. In this book, Religionless Christianity, I kind of talk about what do we do about it, I guess, and how do we – well, I'm sorry. Let me say, just in the few minutes we have before we go to our guest, Sebastian Gorka or P.G. Keenan, let me say that the title Religionless Christianity comes from a letter that Bonhoeffer wrote in the last year of his life. He was in the Gestapo prison, horrible, and he wrote a letter to his best friend, Eberhard Baitke. Now, I write about this in the book, but he wrote to his friend, and he's kind of thinking, how did all of this happen? How did we lose the battle? Why did the church fall? Why did the church fail to stand? What happened? And he says, if only we had had a religionless Christianity. And what he means by that, he's using the word religion as a pejorative, like this dead religiosity. We had all this church stuff. We're all playing church, but we didn't have actual Christianity, like robust, active Christian faith, willing to die for what you believe in. And he was saying if we had had a religionless Christianity, we would not have succumbed to the evil of the Nazis. But we didn't. And the reason I wrote the book is because I think we need to go back and try to understand what was Bonhoeffer saying. What did he mean by that? Now, if you look at everything that he wrote up until then, he understood this concept when he was in his early 20s. In fact, I talk about how when he was an assistant pastor in Barcelona, Spain for a year. He was teaching at a German-speaking congregation, and he gave three lectures to the high schoolers kind of on this subject, or at least one of the lectures was exactly on this subject, many years before he came up with the term religionless Christianity. But he's talking about what happens when we're just playing church. In other words, what happens when we're going through the motions, the religious motions, but we're not actually living out our faith. That's when you have dead religion. It's not actual Christianity. And so God's answer to evil is religionless Christianity. And in the book, I talk about what are some religious idols that that people, whether, you know, the Pharisees in the time of Jesus, or pastors in the time of Bonhoeffer in Germany, or pastors today or Christians today, what are some of the religious idols that we might worship without realizing it that would lead us into this kind of dead, useless, you know, pseudo-Christianity, which is actually religion. So that's kind of what the book is about. I say that – I think it's on the back of the book. I say that – actually, I can read this. I have a minute. I'll read this. This is the introduction to this book. I say, in America, we're experiencing our third and likely our final existential crisis. The first was our revolution, when the threat was from without. The second was our civil war, when the threat was from within. But now we face a third trial whereby evil forces aim to steal our freedoms and national sovereignty via a globalist world system dedicatedly at war with the God from whom we derive our principles of liberty and justice for all, as well as with the principles themselves. And the threat to us now is from both within and without. This book is a sequel to my previous book, Letter to the American Church, which draws the unavoidably chilling parallels between the German Christian silence and inaction in the 1930s and the silence and inaction of American Christians in our own time. Both are the result of a drift away from the biblical idea of a muscular faith that expresses itself in all spheres of life and toward a dead and religious faith that is merely theological and ecclesiastical. Dietrich Bonhoeffer sought to awaken the church of his day to action, but as we know, they did not heed God's voice through him and invited the judgment they couldn't have dreamt would come. So I'm excited a couple days ago I got home and I saw a box and I opened it up, and it's always an exciting thing. This is my 15th book, I guess, or 16th or 17th, something like that. But it's an exciting thing to launch a book out there. There's some wacky stuff in here, and I don't mean like wacky in the pejorative sense. I mean like some there's some heavy stuff in here. You've not read it, but Tiffany, your wife,
she read it. She said it's pretty good. I think we're going to have to make a film on it. I hate to tell you, but
you
we might
to,
have to do
You hate to tell me? We might have to.
Make another film, a sequel.
Well, I'm open to it.
We're gonna have Vin Diesel play you in the sequel.
All right,
you
know? Yeah, because I'm so
Fast
busy.
And Furious.
I'm so busy, and he can do his own stunts.
Letter to the American
Not
Church.
Not like last time. I got two. Messed up. I got my arms messed up. Okay, so today talking to Sebastian Gorka and Peachy Keenan. Don't go away.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Metaxas. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com. Legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
Folks, welcome back. As promised, my guest right now is none other than Peachy Keenan. No, it's not her real name. Welcome back, Peachy.
Thanks, Eric. Great to be here.
I'm going to call you Peachy. I hope you don't mind.
Please do.
Or Ms. Keenan. Listen, I follow you on Twitter and often retweet your stuff because you've just got a great Twitter game going.
Thank you.
And yes, you do. And you say what needs to be said. And you have been you recently wrote an article, which I want to talk to you about last week, but it's still relevant. And it's frankly, I wish it weren't, but it's very relevant, frankly. So what's the title of the new piece that you've just written?
It's called Extremism is on the Ballot. And the thesis is that this election, 2024 election, is basically a contest between a dangerous, radical extremist and Donald Trump.
And by the way, that is true.
Yes.
But the radical extremism of Biden, in your article, when I was reading your article and you lay out the various just satanic, extreme, insane things that Biden has done, that his administration has done, it's so startling how extreme he is. You think if Adolf Hitler took over the country, this is what he would do. This is an astonishing level of America-hating, destructive, freedom-hating, God-hating behavior like we have never seen ever in our country. It really is as though Hitler had taken over. I mean, when Hitler took over Germany in 1933, they had this thing called Gleichschaltung, where they just moved with lightning speed to bring this evil National Socialist agenda to every aspect of German society. They did it with lightning speed. That's kind of what we've seen in the 3 years under Joe Biden, and you lay it out in the article.
Yeah, I mean, one could argue that even, you know, Dr. Mengele himself would be horrified at the medical mutilations that Joe Biden and his administration are in favor of inflicting on young children. I mean, Dr. Mengele did chop off women's breasts. I mean, he did a lot of horrible things. But even the Nazis would have agreed that there are only two genders.
That's kind of amazing, right? If we only could go back to the common sense of the Nazis.
Right.
But look, this is how evil operates, right? The parallel between the Nazis and the left in America today is their war on reality, right? In other words, when you start talking, the Nazis would talk about science. They would talk about Jewish science and German science. You're no longer in the world of science. You're now in a world of ideology of your own making. And if you don't go along with this satanic fiction, you're on the outs. You're sent to a concentration camp. You can't get a job, whatever it is. That's what we're seeing today with trans ideology and with other ideologies, a level of madness that we've never seen anything even approaching it in America.
Yeah, and I wrote the article because in the wake of Joe Biden declaring that Easter itself, Easter Sunday, was no more, and it was now the new national holiday, a new federal holiday called Transgender Day of Awareness, or whatever, visibility, whatever that is. I was very happy to go back and go to Monday, Easter Monday, where it was back to Transgender Day of Invisibility. This is the most visible population in the country, but they need their own another special day. And there's just so many examples like that, where this administration, Joe Biden, are just really just like kind of mind-blowingly extreme. I mean, they lecture us on Russia being so evil, and how dare they imprison a political opponent of Putin, right? Alexei Navalny, who died in prison. Meanwhile, in the same breath, they're actively attempting to imprison for life Joe Biden's only political opponent, and that's totally fine. And they don't see the incredible kind of disastrous irony of that.
I mean, you see this, I see this, millions of Americans see this, but there's still millions of Americans who don't seem to see this. And that's what's so staggering to me, that the left has taken control through the decades of the mainstream media, of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, even to some extent. They're not – the Wall Street – that's the horror. In other words, it's one thing for the New York Times to have gone insane. They've always been leftist, but they've gone over the lip into insanity, pure propaganda. So there's nothing really almost that you can read there. But even the Wall Street Journal is not on board with what's happening with J6 prisoners. There's a timidity among many conservatives who seem to think, well, Donald Trump is getting his. That's what's even more staggering to me than, you know, when the left is doing what we expect them to do.
Yeah, I mean, people are afraid of being called names like mean or racist or domestic terrorists, or people are just terrified. I mean, even on the right, people are scared of being, you don't want to be with the like bad people. And then when you get called out, when someone on the left calls you out, a lot of people, their first instinct is to panic and backtrack. I didn't mean that. Of course, it was an insurrection. Of course, they should all, you know, be beheaded and beaten in the D.C. gulag. Of course, Donald Trump should, go to prison or whatever for some crime.
Did Ben Shapiro ever correct on that? Because he said at some point that he thought the J6ers were getting what they deserve, something like that. And I was actually stunned. I said, you know, we don't have to agree on everything, but on that, I mean, there are many conservatives who seem to think that J6 was a real insurrection and, you know, Trump tried to overturn the Constitution. You think these are conservatives?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where Ben Shapiro stood on it or if he's backtracked, but a lot of people who at first were like, oh, how terrible, they should all go to jail, have now seen how totally political all those prosecutions are. And now they're trying, the new thing is, here we are 4 years later or whatever, or 3 years later, they're now going to be putting in prison anybody who was even like near the Capitol on that day. They just put a grandmother who walked through to pray. They just sentenced her to, like, I don't know, a year in jail.
She's a great grandmother. It is.
Oh, right.
Again, this is satanic. And I think to myself, if you're not horrified, if you're not fighting with everything you have against this somehow, what I keep saying, because we made the film Letter to the American Church, if you're going to a church that doesn't care about people rotting in prison because they happen to be on the Capitol grounds, in this case to pray, if you don't care about that, your church is not a church. It's a fake church. And there are many Americans, some of whom are listening to this program, who go to churches like that. And I want to let people know, ladies and gentlemen, the hour is late. You cannot afford, for the sake of your soul and for this nation, to be going to a church that is looking the other way in the way that the German churches looked the other way when the Jews were being sent in boxcars to the death camps. You say, well, we just want to do church. How can you possibly not care that a praying great-grandmother is being sent to jail? What kind of wickedness is this, and how can you not care? But you know, and I know, that many Americans do not care.
Yeah, I mean, the people on the other side, not only do they not care, they want me dead. They want you dead. They want us to literally be genocided. They would be very happy if, you know, I was dragged out of my car and beaten by some BLM rally that I accidentally drove near or something. They wouldn't shed a tear for me, you know. And so I'm not surprised at all. And in terms of the church, I mean, the Catholic Church, the Evangelical Church, Christianity as a whole has been kind of taken over by this be nice. We have to just be nice. And they use Christianity and like the Bible and the New Testament, the gospel against us. This is like my first essay I ever wrote was I was quoting someone on MSNBC who said to Tucker Carlson, when he said, yes, we need to have a border. Okay, that's all he said. We have to have a border. And she said, and you call yourself a Christian. You know, Jesus said, you have to love your neighbors. Aren't they our neighbors? It's like, you can love them. And you can love them from afar, and you can love them if they come over
legally.
Well, look,
again, this is they're playing games because when they come over, half of the women are being raped. Raped, ladies and gentlemen, raped, not threatened with raped, with being raped, raped, actually raped. If you don't care about that, you know, you're not loving your neighbors. And that's what we're facing. And I talk a lot about this. I have a new book coming out called Religionless Christianity, where I deal with these idols, these religious idols, and this idol of being nice, the idol of winsomeness. The scripture says, be at peace with all men when possible. There's many times when it's not possible, but there are people, Christians, who don't get that. And they think that this one of the Ten Commandments is to be nice. Anyway, it's ridiculous. We'll be right back, folks, talking to Peachy Keenan. Don't go away. You in vain, or true.
Can you hear the voices singing to you?
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedics, NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandwich. $25. There's six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC.
Welcome back. Talking to Peachy Keenan, who wrote a book called Domestic Extremist, which I recommend. But Peachy, you wrote an article recently about extremism on the left, on the part of the Biden administration. And you kind of lay out in the article the various points of extremism. So let's go through some of them, because when you look at them, it's horrifying when you realize the level of madness, the extremism, the anti-American, the vicious hatred of this administration toward your average American.
Yeah, they hate us, and they want to abolish the middle class. That's what inflation is about. That's what, you know, why people can't buy homes. You can't buy a home. You can't really start a family. And you can't afford groceries, you know, you're not having another kid. So that's just going to naturally shrink the middle class and keep millennials single and floating around and unable to build wealth. And that makes them much, much easier to control. People who have their own family and a little bit of wealth and a little bit of property, you know, want to preserve that. And they have something to conserve. And they tend to be a little bit naturally more conservative. But the main thing I think right now that is this one of the most stark differences between our two candidates this fall is foreign policy. Trump, as we know, kept us out of war, right, for 4 years. There was no new wars started for the first time, like, that I can remember. There was no surge. There were no, you know, hundreds of bodies coming home at Dover Air Force Base. And when he was elected, the left said, he's going to start a nuclear war. Trump's going to get us into war. That was like the big scare tactic. He did not do that.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure the world ended through nuclear war
right. During
Trump's administration. I'm pretty sure that happened. I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure it happened because they were so sure that it would happen. So I think it probably happened. Some version of that probably happened.
Well, under Joe Biden, it may indeed finally happen, because Joe Biden has now started and incited multiple wars. And there's no end in sight. There's no conditions of a victory. It's just an endless spigot. We all know why they're using Ukraine. It's to launder their money.
Say that again, because a lot of people, the Ukraine thing, first of all, the idea that NATO would need to exist after the Soviet Union is dismantled 30 plus years ago makes no sense to me. What is East and West when the Iron Curtain is gone? Somebody please explain that to me. I have no idea what they're talking about. Why do you need to invite all of these former Soviet republics to be part of NATO? Is Russia the Soviet Union? No, it's not. So that's bizarre. And so you're poking the bear, and Ukraine is really they act like Ukraine is France or Germany or something like that.
Right.
It's so bizarre. And everybody, again, whenever Biden says, Biden administration says anything, I think, okay, probably a lie. When they tell us, oh, we've got to defend Ukraine, I go, whoa, what, like, why? Why? And first of all, by the way, Russia probably wouldn't have attacked if Trump were president. So that tells you something. But it's just become this big, like a joke. I mean, we're sending money to Ukraine, which is tremendously corrupt. Maybe maybe, you know, if you have to pick which is less evil, Ukraine or Russia, you'd say, okay, yeah, Ukraine. But are we supposed to spend money that we're not spending in America for Americans? We're supposed to spend it over there. And you say you think it's money laundering. Now, when you say that, why do you say that?
I think, you know, that the Bidens have been enmeshed in the Ukrainian leadership for many years. Of course, in 2014, the Obama administration and the CIA orchestrated the coup in 2014 for their chosen candidate. And we send the money over there, and the money gets kicked back to our defense industry and the defense lobbyists here in the United States and back into the pockets of. That's why you see Nancy Pelosi going over there, and Mitt Romney, and Hunter Biden was involved. And we know that there was like a payoff to some. It's all very complicated. Meanwhile, I just saw somewhere on Twitter the other day that Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, has some like $25 million mansion somewhere in the West. I forget exactly where, like in the south of France or something. So the Ukrainian leadership, they're all gajillionaires now with our dollars. We've just kind of made it rain over there. And it's just, it's very murky. It's very unclear. Ukraine's the most corrupt cesspool. What came out last week? The DOD was like, oh yeah, there's a $400 million. We sent them and it finished. We don't know. I don't know. So I think Vivek Ramaswamy said, okay, we've sent them $100 billion. No, nothing's happened. There's been no results in the war, no victory, mass death. Hundreds of thousands of young Ukrainian men, young Russian men have been blown to bits. So we're going to send them another $100 billion. How is this going to be won? And I think the conditions of winning in their mind are, we're just going to nuke Russia. That'll be fine. And I'm like, no. And I think Donald Trump is actually right. I think he could bring peace in 24 hours.
Oh,
I really believe that.
I completely believe that. I mean, this is what's so horrifying. I mean, I remember things being like this under Obama. They are like this now, much worse under Biden. But you feel like there is no one representing the best interests of the United States of America in the administration. Correct. There's just no one there. Horrible things are happening. No one is doing anything about it. We have China attacking us innumerable ways. The bridge that was taken out recently sure looks like China did it, but immediately we were told, no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. We're talking to Peachy Keenan. We'll be right back.
The clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Peachy Keenan. Sounds like a fake name, but I'm not going to question you any further. So in the article that you wrote, by the way, where can people find your article?
It's right now it's on my Substack, peachykeenan.substack.com. It was originally published on the American Mind website, which I write for. But then the lawyers got involved because apparently you're not allowed to endorse a specific candidate when you're a nonprofit.
On the American Mind?
Yeah. So it's on my Substack, peachykeenan.substack.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter, at Keenan Peachy.
The American Mind didn't allow you to point out that Biden is evil to the extent that people might be inclined not to vote for Biden. That was a problem the American Mind had. I have to tell you, I've got a problem with you, American Mind. I've got a big problem with you. That's pretty awful.
They're a great publication, but the lawyers were like, well, you're not supposed to endorse someone, but they might just delete a sentence, it'll be back.
We're really sorry we pointed out the satanic evil of Biden. It won't happen again.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
So what are some of the other extreme points? Because it's just a great article, and the point that you make, the larger point, is just the extremism of the Biden administration on so many points. Just tremendous.
Yeah.
Extremism. And again, extremism meaning at war with what is normal and agreed upon by your average American, basically.
Right. I mean, the two other issues are basically the crime and the border. And in terms of crime, we all know that it would be actually quite simple to bring inner city, New York City crime, Chicago, LA, San Francisco, to reduce the amount of, you know, shootings on the subway, the amount of psychopaths that are roaming the subways and roaming our city streets and pushing people in front of subways. Most of those offenders are guys with who are known to the authorities. They have 100 arrests. And there's just like a relatively small number. And I read somewhere that like you can arrest 100 or 200 or so of those guys in New York City and crime would literally plummet like 80% or something. Right. So we know what we have to do. But they will not do that because it could be, well, racially, it will look bad because let's say maybe some of those higher percentage of those people are a race that, you know, is a most favored, has more favored status these days. Gavin Newsom just tweeted out a few days ago about gun control and how he's going to focus on gun control. And it's really time that we control the guns with heavier background checks, raising the age limit, all of those things. And he hasn't figured out that actually, why don't you try to arrest the felons who use the guns? In fact, you could prevent all second crimes committed by a gun-wielding lunatic instantly. They would commit one crime, and then that would be the last crime they ever committed, if you were serious about it. Because the people who are not a danger are the normal people, the safe people, the people who have licensed firearms in their home for home defense and whatever. Those people are not the problem, but they're not allowed to focus on what the actual issue is, because they're kind of hamstrung by their constituency. And it's just completely bizarre.
But I think it's a combination of what you just said, that they're hamstrung by their insane constituency and they have to keep hitting this. It's the guns. It's the guns. It's the guns.
Right.
You know, when people are stabbed, they don't say it's the knives. It's the knives. It's the knives. When people are run over by cars, they don't say it's the cars. It's the cars. I guess my question is that it seems to me also that there are people on the left who are such enemies of America and of Americans that they like the idea of great American cities falling into ruin, that they are somehow in favor of this. When you think of San Francisco, when you think of Portland, Seattle, Chicago, when you think of these places and the crime that's there, it's not just that you have crazy anti-gun people. It's that they see there are all kinds of things that they could do, but they're not doing it. They seem to like the idea of the crime, which hard to process. But that seems to me, and I think to many Americans, it has to be the answer to why this is happening, because they like it. They don't mind it.
Yeah, it's all about, I think, just demoralizing the populace to such an extreme that, you know, you can't afford to have a family. You can't afford a home. You're scared to use public transportation. So you can't live in a formerly beautiful city with all the jobs. Now you have to move somewhere else. And it's all about demoralizing the people that are hardworking and the people that historically made this country great. And so when you have no hope of the future, when you have, there's no reason to have children because, I mean, how in the world are you going to, where are they going to put them in your like one bedroom apartment? You know, you can't get married. There's nowhere to go to meet people because the city and the bars are, you know, a little bit scary. It's just this incredible demoralization of, you know, regular, normal people, people that we need to be thriving and making cities bustling places with, you know, thriving economies. And so why do they want us all demoralized? And it really is so demoralizing. Donald Trump's constantly, you know, his lawfare, the lawfare against him, you know, and the lawfare that they're inflicting on everybody else. I mean, Daniel Penny, you know, in New York City, he's going to end up on Rikers Island for 15 years getting, you know, beaten by his cellmate because he tried to protect a subway car full of, you know, commuters.
This does not seem, I just have to say, folks, if you're not outraged by this, you're part of the problem. This has all arisen to a level of satanic evil. We've never seen anything like it, that good people are being put in jail. Bad people are not being put in jail. Dangerous people are not being put in jail. People who are no threat, who are in fact wanting to keep the city safe, are being put in jail. This is, we've never seen anything like this. I mean, we simply have never seen anything like this in America.
Yeah, and again, they're using kind of Christians and Catholics' natural inclination to kind of be empathetic and to be kind. They're using that against us to flood our cities with that, people that are not, don't mean us any good.
Just a reminder, folks, today, April 9th, is the day that Bonhoeffer was executed 79 years ago. To get a copy of my book on him, you can go to mystore.com, use the code Eric, mystore.com, use the code Eric.
Dreaming up such cherished lies to whisper in your ear before you die.
Welcome back. Talking to Peachy Keenan. The other thing that you write about in your article is the issue of immigration. Again, it's just beyond belief. We've never in our lives seen anything like any of this. It's a level of madness and evil like we have never seen. So, talk about the border.
I think Elon Musk really put it succinctly when he tweeted a few weeks ago. He said, look, Americans of, you know, all races, just American citizens, we're only 4% of the Earth's population. 4%. Okay. And it'd be very easy to make American citizens 4% now of their own country. And that's what's happening. I mean, you can't sustain. What is it, 10 million illegals have come across in like 2 or 3 years? And I think even under like Obama, it was like just a fraction of that. But it's been going exponential with a dip when Donald Trump was president, but then back up. I mean, it's never been like that. 10 million people in some states, they're pushing to let non-citizens vote. And of all those people, in 18 years, all those people reproduce. Now we have 20 million new voters. Okay, so it's over. And, you know, the census, I mean, that's also what Elon Musk was pointing out. The census numbers that apportions our representatives in the Congress are not based on citizenry per state. They're based on residence, whether you're illegal, legal, whatever. If you live in a state, you're counted in the census, no matter what your status is. And that determines how many representatives.
Okay,
that
is totally unconstitutional. That is exactly like at the Constitutional Convention, when the slaveholders in the South said our slaves, people we own, should be counted as part of our population so we can have greater representation in Congress, even though they can't vote, they can't own anything, we don't let them read or write. But the level of cynicism of the slaveholding states, you talk about despicable that they forced the compromise, the three-fifths compromise.
Right.
But we're seeing something very similar right now. It's unbelievable that they should count so that it's simply wrong. But the Democrats they seem to be doubling down on evil and lies. I mean, again, I have to say it over and over. We've never seen anything like it. We've simply never seen. It's hard for most people to process this.
Yeah. Well, these people are supervillains and they're very clever and they're outsmarting the Republicans at every turn, because the Republicans that we have in charge, most of them, 80%, 90% of them, like I said, all they care about is not looking like a bad guy. They're terrified of getting called racist, bigot, trans, whatever it is. And my proposal is, guys, if somebody calls you a racist, calls you a bigot, guess what? That's their opinion. It's not my job to prove them right or wrong. That's they're allowed to have any opinion of me they want. I know who I am and I know what I believe. And I'm not going to be afraid anymore of any of that. And you can't be. And we're in this position where people are going to have to kind of cross that Rubicon to a place where they're not afraid to say, yes, we need a border and we should have, the correct amount of illegal immigration we should have is zero. It's actually zero. Okay. We can talk about our legal immigration. I would love to have, all the smart people, the hardworking people applying to come in here. Fine. That's fine. From anywhere. Fine. But illegal immigration is a crime.
Illegal immigration is against the law. That's why it's called illegal, and it's bad. And so we're certainly not against immigration. My parents came to this country, and then they legally became citizens. It's a pretty wonderful thing. Well, Peachy, thanks for being my guest. I hope folks will check you out. Peachy Keenan, you can at least follow Peachy on Twitter. Great to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. And my paperback just came out on Amazon.
Domestic Extremist.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.